Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 11th, 2014. And with me today, I have both brilliantly minded Brian Chapman. What? You're smart, Brian. You are.
I am.
Yeah, so one of the two brilliantly minded people there, Brian Chapman, and the other, Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. And
clearly, no frivolity.
Sorry.
No frivolity. No, there will be no frivolity.
Sir, yes, sir.
We are a serious, serious endeavor.
Yes, and everyone that has spent any length of time with me knows that I'm always about the serious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so while I'm getting my serious on,
which happens as often as pants, I'd like to add.
That's awesome. Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah. While I'm getting my serious on, my first topic that I thought would be really interesting to take a look at is the news that Judge Koh decided that she was going to reject the settlement that Apple, Google, Intel, and Adobe agreed to in the class action lawsuit alleging that they, along with several other companies, colluded to keep or to create an anti-poaching deal so that they wouldn't steal employees from each other. The settlement that they agreed to was $324.5 million. Judge Koh said that's way too low. And then instead of saying, hey, let's figure out something that's more equitable for everyone involved, she did something which is very rare, and she just tossed it out and said, looks like we're going to trial, gang.
Which is fascinating. It's certainly a rare event for a judge to toss out a settlement completely as opposed to simply saying, go back and continue to work it out. But the long and the short of this is that this was a settlement that behooved the attorneys and it behooved the suees. What's the correct word there?
The suees are the plaintiffs. Wait, no, the suees, meaning the people being sued.
The defendants. Yes,
the
settlement
are the suers.
It behooved the defendants and it behooved the plaintiff's attorneys. It did not behoove the plaintiffs. She was right. I'm surprised she went as far as she did to toss it out completely and say we're going to trial. But the settlement was bogus.
The settlement was surprisingly low, and now, seeing that she tosses this out completely, I'm surprised that the earlier settlement that involved Pixar and LucasArts, and I forgot the other company.
Intuit.
They settled for $20 million, and she was cool with that. So if $324.5 million was too low for the other companies, what makes $20 million okay for the three that settled earlier?
Yeah, well, probably the size of the companies involved.
Yeah, my assumption is the size of the companies.
The number of people that are affected in the class.
Right. Right. And that makes sense to me. So what I'm gathering is that the other companies, they had a substantially higher number of employees that were impacted by this agreement.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, just the depressive effect of Google and Apple alone. I mean, Intel too, but really this is probably more about Google and Apple. But the depressive effect that those two companies alone would have on worker salaries, and, you know, we say worker, and we're talking about engineers and designers, and, you know, we're not talking about people who are flipping burgers or turning a screwdriver to assemble widgets. But the depressive effect on those wages, though, by those two companies is going to have a vastly disproportionate effect on Silicon Valley than what Pixar and Lucasfilms are doing.
And yeah, and that seems totally reasonable to assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the thing, though, about just tossing this out completely, Judge Koh must have been pretty appalled with the settlement agreement across the board. I'm guessing that not only is she disappointed with the four companies, but that she's also disappointed with the plaintiff's attorneys for agreeing to such a deal.
Yeah, it was clearly a self-serving. It was a self-serving deal. I mean, the plaintiffs have communications between Steve Jobs and Eric Schmidt.
Something like that, I think.
And, yeah. I know definitely they have emails from Steve Jobs, but I think they were back and forth between him and Eric Schmidt, and as well as other evidence. I mean, they have these companies dead to rights colluding to not steal each other's employees.
I mean, right. And they have some very damning emails where Steve Jobs is threatening a war of sorts on the other companies if they steal away his employees.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I totally understand Steve not wanting Google's recruiters to be poaching his employees, but it turns out you don't get to do that. I mean, these are anti-competitive agreements that absolutely have a depressive effect on wages. I mean, companies cannot do this. In this case, these tech giants got caught with their hands in the cookie jar. Actually, got caught putting the cookie jar on a higher shelf, you know, and they got caught doing it. And the settlement, you know, the plaintiff's attorneys, and that's class actions always work this way. The attorneys make out like bandits, and the class tends to get very little. And the settlement or even the damages awarded by trial might actually hurt the company, but I don't know. This was a ridiculous settlement from the get-go. She was right to toss it.
Yeah, surprising as it was that it was tossed instead of sent back to be renegotiated. Now, that said, they can present a new settlement if they so choose.
And oh, they will.
Oh, of course they will, because
they do not want this to go to trial.
Oh, no.
No, they don't.
And for people who don't know about the emails that we're talking about, they are blunt is probably the most diplomatic description I can give you. One of them, a direct quote, I just went and looked it up, and a direct quote from one of the emails from Steve Jobs to Sergey Brin said, "If you hire a single one of these people, that means war." So, you know, we have that. And then we have Eric Schmidt later sending an email about something saying we should be doing this verbally, since I don't want to create a paper trail over which we can be sued later.
Well, he says in a paper trail.
Yeah, no. People are going to hear – people are going to hear one side of the story or the other side of the story, depending. If you go to Android websites, they're all going to go, look how horrible Steve Jobs was in these emails. And all the Apple sites are going to go, look how horrible Google was in these emails. But the truth is, like, when you get down to it, I mean, they're guilty. At this point, it's really just a numbers game. It has very little to do with did they do it, because we can kind of tell they all did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing, is, you know, and people are going to go, oh, Apple, but no. Seriously? No. Apple is up to their eyeballs in this, just like Intel, just like Google, all these guys. And they all had this same issue. And, like, and people did lose jobs over this, because, like, Steve Jobs found out a Google recruiter had called an Apple employee, and he forwarded an email to Eric Schmidt, and it said, "I would be very pleased if your recruiting department would stop doing this." And an hour later, the recruiter was fired. So it's not like they didn't know something was happening, and it wasn't like there wasn't this agreement. So I feel kind of bad for the people in the middle, and I feel worse for them that the lawyers sort of went with this settlement, because it sounds like the settlement itself wouldn't have broken down very well for any of these people. the actual employees.
No, but the attorneys would have done well.
Right. The attorneys would have come out fantastically.
Now they're going to do it even better.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because really the baseline for a settlement that people expect Judge Koh to entertain would be $1 billion. So the attorneys would make out quite well off of a billion dollar settlement.
In that initial $325 million settlement, one thing that I read said that 25% of that was attorney fees.
Yes.
Yeah, that's usually 25 to 33%.
Yeah.
Usually how that works.
Man, we should have
I'm in the wrong line of work.
We should have all been class action attorneys.
Seriously.
There will be yacht spot.
Yeah. Okay, so the other topic I wanted to take a look at today is doom, gloom, and paranoia related. And this is the whole thing that just really kind of exploded over the past few days, with people freaking out about the terms of service over Facebook's Messenger application.
Oh, FUD.
Yeah, oh, FUD. And what people are assuming, and there are sites out there that wrote articles to reinforce this idea, is that Google is using Messenger to spy on you. They're using your microphones.
Facebook.
Wow.
Facebook is.
That's a Freudian slip right there. Wow.
We know Google is doing it. We're hearing about Facebook doing it now.
Oh, man. That'll be a good one to talk over with the therapist. Okay. So Facebook is supposedly using Messenger to spy on us through our microphones and cameras on our smartphones. They're stealing all of our email. They are going to make phone calls in our behalf to people in our address book. They're going to steal all the contacts from our address book, send texts for us, all this crazy stuff. And the deal is, when you look at the terms of service, they are asking permission to have access to all of these different things, just like pretty much every other company that wants to do something on your cell phone or your smartphone. That doesn't mean these companies are trying to steal all your information. There are plenty of reasons to not trust Facebook, but I don't think that the terms of service over Messenger happen to be one of them.
No, these are all just permissions that the app needs to do its job. And the original, I think it was a HuffPo piece. I think the piece that's being bandied about over the weekend is just a repetition of the HuffPo piece, right?
I think so. Yeah,
that's what it looks like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just
everything tracks back to this Patient Zero post over at Huffington Post.
It's a lot like the brief moment of furor over Dropbox's terms of conditions, which sounded like when you read through them, it sounded like they were claiming the right to be able to take your content and reproduce it. And it turns out that's what Dropbox does.
Yeah, that's the actual definition of their service.
They take your stuff and they reproduce it elsewhere. And those terms and conditions were poorly worded. They were absolutely poorly worded. They were worded by attorneys who were much more interested in covering their legal rear ends instead of actually trying to make clear what was being, you know, the rights that they were asserting.
Right.
And my point there is that there was a brief moment of furor, and then some folks explained it, and then we forgot about it because, you know, it wasn't any kind of a big deal. This is the same thing with this Facebook Messenger nonsense. It's just, I mean, these permissions, this is what the app needs to do its job.
But we also see, I think the reason that there's such wetting of pants over this is, A, Facebook, who is already a company with a reputation for overstepping its bounds privacy-wise.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Number one. So people are first of all, people are sort of predisposed to believe that this is the kind of jerk move that Facebook might pull, and then go, but gosh, it never occurred to us that anybody would be upset. The second thing about this is that the original, the Patient Zero piece I'm talking about over at Huffington Post, outlines a list of things in the terms of service. But then additionally, on each of those bullet points, it's a bulleted list. In each of those bullets, there's two sentences. And the first sentence is what the terms of service says. And it looks like the second sentence is conjecture from the author about what this could mean. Not what it does mean, not what it actually says. It's not a direct quote. It says things like, it wants access to your contacts. It is going to be able to send email or text messages without the user's consent or knowledge. Okay, the first sentence of that is true. It wants access to your contacts. It wants access to your contacts because it wants to know if you can send those people a Facebook message.
Right.
That's why. Full stop. So the second piece where he's speculating looks like it's the same as the terms of service. Because when I saw this last week, I went to write it up and went, hey, Brian, what do you think about this? And he went, this looks like commentary. And I'm like, you know, now that you say that, it does look like commentary. It looks like he's putting his own conjecture on it.
It was being presented as a quote.
Yeah.
A quoted bullet list, and it was not.
Right. But it looks, when you look at the piece, it looks like this is what it says in the, because it says, here's a direct quote from the terms of service. And then he goes on to add his own words and not leave it at what the terms of service say, and then spin that out into this can happen without user consent. So first of all, if you're on that ledge, take a step back. And yeah, second of all,
this is a tempest in a teapot situation.
Yeah, take a good look. And it's another one of those convenient reminders that this is more awareness that everyone should have about the kind of things that they're agreeing to. But in this case, overall, strictly what you are agreeing to is really not that heinous.
Right.
And I'm saying this as a person who will not install Facebook Messenger on their phone, and that was well before the terms of service. I just don't use it, and I barely let Facebook have the one space on my phone I'm not giving it to. So it's that simple. For me, it's just not what I use. And I don't use Facebook Messenger that often, so I don't really care. And I'm not going to miss it when it finally leaves the app, the initial Facebook app. I'm not going to care. I'm not going to miss it much. So for most people, I don't think this is as big a deal as the internet has turned it into. So take a deep breath, relax, and take a look at what those terms of service are. And you can probably figure out what they're saying, and you'll be able to understand. And none of this stuff in this case, none of this stuff is actually happening without your consent or without your knowledge.
And so
keep that in mind.
So the important thing is, because we're out of time, so I'm wrapping up real quick here. The important thing is the terms of service that you see for the various apps that you use are probably not as scary as they appear at first. So do a little bit more research before you freak out. And there are plenty of reasons to not trust Facebook, but Messenger's terms of service probably not on that list.
Exactly.
And on that happy note, Brian, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today. As always, I love getting your opinions, and you guys rock.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much.